Okay, I think we can get started this afternoon. Welcome, everyone. Before we go into this, I think we'll pause for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that you are here with us today. Thank you for each one that has come out. Thank you for the opportunities that we have in this land to have our own schools like this, and I pray that you would grant us wisdom as board members here and each one of us that are involved in the school. May you bless each one and grant us wisdom and your grace as we go forth from here. Bless our time here together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, welcome to each one. The title that was given to me is The Involved Board. There's quite a few faces that I know. Some of you I don't know. There's quite a few here that know who I am. I've got a sister here. I've got my wife here, and I've got my chairman from at home and a lot of other faces that I've known for years. So, but I'm at, for those of you who don't know me, I'm from Boonville, Missouri, Oasis Mennonite Church, and I'm a board member there. I've had some experience on the board. I was a board member for 5 years, was off 1 year, then I was chairman for 5 years. So I've also was privileged to meet two teachers that are teachers today that were teachers when I was chairman as well. So that was good to meet them again today. I have some handouts, and I was planning to have some of these questions discussion here, but I think because of Ron having an open discussion later on, and hopefully you submitted some questions for him, I don't think we're going to take much time to answer some of these. I'm still hoping for some interaction from you all, but just go ahead and pass these out, and you can kind of follow along on my outline here. So I was given 5 subtopics, which you will see there. Orienting new teachers. Number 2, are your teachers thriving? 3, profitable parent teachers meeting. 4, passing the torch to future board members. And 5, school handbook. So just so you know a little bit of, I guess, who I am and who we have 6 children. The oldest is 24 and the youngest is 8. So we've had children in school for quite a few years, and the youngest is now, will be in 2nd grade. So our involvement in school has been for many years, and it's a joy and a privilege. I love the Christian Day School, and I don't know that I today can place enough emphasis on what the school is and has done for us. And the importance of school and what it does for the church. The impact that it has on the future of the church. And I really appreciated the emphasis that Aaron had on different things. I think it's just very important that we are give ourselves to the work of the school. And so as we go through this, I don't want you to think that some of the things that we'll be talking about, some of the ideas that I give, there's a lot of different ways to accomplish the same goal, if you know what I'm saying. So the setting that I grew up in, or the setting that I was involved in, is probably different from the setting that you are involved in today. And probably, I don't know how many different places we're from today, but you probably have a certain way of doing school, as I'm going to talk about, and somebody else may have another way of doing it. So the ideas that I give may not be exactly the way you do. I hope I can portray some principles as we go work our way through these things. I grew up working with my father in construction. We built houses, new houses for customers. And I started when I was 15, and I was with dad for quite a number of years. So I started out kind of like an apprentice, I guess. I worked under someone, and I learned what I know today in construction. I learned from someone else, from working with mostly my brothers. There were some others involved as well. But I didn't, what I learned in construction wasn't like the scenario that was given. You know, I think it was Aaron that gave that scenario where, you know, you can give everybody all the instruction, you can show them the tools and tell them which tools to use for this. But if he doesn't work underneath someone and he learns the trade bit by bit, it's going to be very difficult. So I learned to take instruction, I learned to follow instructions, and thus I learned how to put up a building. And today I'm still doing that, 20 some years later. So as time went on, I became foreman of another crew, and so now it was my turn to give instructions, to teach new employees the tricks of the trade. And as I worked with especially younger ones, you know, they would make mistakes, and I would show them how to correct their mistake, but then allow them to do it, and just work with them. So it was my turn to do that now. Well, now today I own a business, and I have the opportunity to have even more gray hair and more sleepless nights than ever. And now I have a foreman, and now he is taking on what I once had. So I was thinking of school, I was thinking of everyone that is involved in school. We have our parents, of course, we have the children, we have the school board, and we have our teachers. And in some cases, we have administrators and we have principals, depending on the size of your school. So we have all these people that are involved, and we all need to work together. Ron already used the acronym that I was going to use, is from Team Boys Ranch, the word team, together everyone achieves more. And I have that several times in your handout there. So as I think of construction, I probably have learned more in the last 5 years in running my own business than I have in the rest of my life, simply in working the importance of a crew learning to work together. And then we take that into a school setting, what we're talking today, it is even more true. And the consequences of people not working together in a business is simply the business might not go well, it might go out of business or whatever. It's kind of a small thing in that sense. But in school, in church, it's much more serious than that. And so the impact that a school board has, today we're talking about school board in this room at least, the impact that we have on the school is tremendous, and it's a great responsibility, and it's also a privilege. And I can say that in all my years of working on a school board and in being involved in the school, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I did not ask for the job, but I still enjoyed it. So looking at the title, the involved board, the definition of the word involved is actively participating in something. So when I'm actively involved in let's say a ball game, for instance, I'm not sitting on the bleachers drinking a Coke, but I'm probably out there, you know, I'm thoroughly involved in the ball game. And when I was younger, I really enjoyed ball, and I really get into it. Today, I am much more apt to just choose the umpire position or something like that, something that doesn't take quite as much physical activity. But in the ball game, you know, we know the activity of a ball game. You throw yourself into it, you're thoroughly involved, that's involved, all right? So as we look at the involved board, the school board has a great involvement in the school. and has a big impact on it. We all say that we appreciate our Christian schools and the privilege we enjoy with that, and there was a lot of hard work that was put into what we have today. And sometimes as I look at the big picture of our schools, I wonder sometimes if we're maybe not, and it's no fault, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but it's no, sometimes after three or four generations, the reality of everything that was worked for is not quite as real to us, and it's not none of our fault. It's the way things go. But let's not lose the appreciation for what we have, what our grandparents probably worked really hard for. And none of us, as we look at where the public schools are today, none of us would want to send our children there. I don't think any of us in here would want to see that. I grew up, my dad went to public school. He told a lot of stories about public school days. Back then, that would have been he was born in 1946, so quite a few years ago, but public schools were fairly good back then. I don't know if there's anyone in here that went to public schools or not, but now as we look at the public school systems, we shake our heads and say it's terrible, and it is. But how did they get there? So I have several questions for your consideration, and it's not, I don't need any answers, but just for thought provoking, why is it so difficult to find teachers? Is the vision for our Christian day schools diminishing? Is it worth all the effort it takes to make our schools a success? Are we as parents not doing our job and training our children in areas of respect, obedience, and meeting their emotional needs, and et cetera, to where teachers face repeated burnout and exhaustion? I'm thinking of, it seems like every year there's more and more needs for teachers, and it's difficult to find teachers. And I'm not sure that I have an answer for that, except there's a lot of different dynamics that enter into that. But just some thoughts for, I would love to see more, and this again is just my own ideas, but I would love to see a lot more emphasis put on maybe teachers training, getting our young people interested into school at a very young age. And I love to hear even my boys coming out of school and having an interest in someday teaching. I love to hear that. And yeah. How much impact on the school does your involvement have? Are you making a difference? Just some thoughts, just some thought-provoking questions there. Talking about teachers, there was, it's probably, 12 years ago or more, I made the statement that I hope that my business never gets in the way of something more important, and I had particularly a teaching school in mind, because at the time I was chairman and I was asked, calling a lot of people, 30, 40, 50 people at a time, or in a single summer, trying to find teachers, and I heard every excuse that there is to be made why they couldn't teach. And I made the comment to my wife, don't let my business stand in the way of my boys doing something like this, or Well, sure enough, that has gotten tested twice with my own boys and another one of my workers as well that have left to teach school. And every time I think of that statement, and I'm pretty sure that God recorded it, and may I take that back now? Or I don't want to in any way, but I have, it's with great joy that I release my boys to teach school. And I don't want in any way to stand in the way of something like that. If it means to further the kingdom of God in any way, I want that to be first above all else. All right, let's go to the first one, orienting new teachers. What do we mean by orienting? To set right by adjusting to facts or principles. To acquaint with the existing situation or environment. Like I said, I have these as in the question form, but for the sake of time and because we're going to have a question and discussion this afternoon, we're not necessarily going to be looking for answers. But at the end of each one, I'm going to open it up for anything that you have to share, whether it's a question or just discussion, as we move through these different points here. What are some ways we can communicate to new teachers the challenges, the goals, and the vision of this particular school or your particular school? The first one I have is be honest. What I mean by that, sometimes when a new teacher comes in, you know, we sit down as a board. We have our time of sharing and learning to know who or she is, if she's from afar. There's a lot of things that, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. But above all else, be honest with each other. It's important that he or she is honest. It's important that we ask honest questions. Don't be afraid to dig into their past if you need to. I think it's very crucial because of the impact that a teacher has that we have teachers that are what we heard this morning. If we have past behavior problems in the classroom, he or she should not be surprised 2 weeks into school. These are just some things I have jotted down, and you may have others that I want you to feel free to share. Acquaint them with school structure and environment. Portray your school's vision statement where it can clearly be seen every day if you have a vision statement. If you don't have a vision statement, I highly recommend you to get one and to portray it. We're just actually in the process of we have a vision statement, and now we're in the process of putting it on the wall. We're going to, I believe we are anyway, we're going to put it in each schoolroom. We're going to mount it there where it's visible every day. A few other things that are not a must, but I think could be in place, and I'd like to get your input on this, but guidelines for time spent on the phone, guidelines on how much time off, Bible schools, weddings, and et cetera. School schedules and calendars, clearly define roles and responsibilities. Just some things as we sit down with a new teacher, especially probably even more so if it's from a teacher from afar. I think these are some time, we don't like surprises. No one likes surprises. So as we get move into school, especially for a new teacher, informed people are happy people, and it's frustrating for anyone, and I'll probably use a business, my construction business, for example, several times. But when a new employee comes aboard, it's important that he learns. You know, we tell him, we have no problem telling him you need to be at the shop at a certain time. You know, 12 o'clock is lunchtime. You get this much time off for break. You get this much time off for lunch. We have no problem telling them that. So, and it's because it makes things run smoothly. I think it's important for new teachers to know all those things. Number two I have is how can we or should we as board members set certain requirements for new teachers? Just briefly, and I know once again we have a lot of different schools represented here. You know, some schools require boys to be clean cut, no holes in their pants. Some schools require long sleeve shirts or maybe some other certain dress codes. Those aren't necessarily a must, but my point in this is if you have things like that that you that you have in place as a school board or as a church, by all means, let your new teacher know what is expected of them. Don't let them get started and a couple weeks into school, all of a sudden, you spring all these things, surprises on them. Communication. Just clearly communicate what is expected from them. It's frustrating for the board and the teacher when things are not as they should be because of lack of communication. Again, informed people are happy people. As is the case in every situation, every person comes with a background, a temperament, and their own ideas of how to make this work. And the challenge is to how to take that person's talents or lack of talents and make it a useful vessel in the classroom. So we want the best for our teacher. We want them to succeed, but let's give them the information. If you have a vision for your school, if you have goals for your school, clearly communicate those goals so that they know what to expect. And if the line's over here or if it's over here, it really doesn't matter, as long as you have, as they know, where those roles are. Next one, are your teachers thriving? Talking about orienting new teachers, now are your teachers thriving? The definition of thriving is flourish, prosper, to progress toward or realize a goal despite or because of circumstances. So the word thriving there. You know, I love teachers. Whenever there's a teacher, well, there's always a teacher around, but we typically open our doors and they know they have a standing invitation. They can come over at any time. And probably others do the same. I don't know. It's just what we do, because I just find it very encouraging and it builds relationship, and it's a way of supporting them. And we'll talk more about support a little later. We all know what a thriving business or garden or relationship looks like. We like when our gardens, our businesses. We all know what that looks like. We like that. Last year, our garden was just a scene of beauty with a lot of thriving plants. So the plants were tall. Everything was green. Everything was lush, just beautiful. And we really didn't do that much to it. It just, this spring, the garden was just the opposite. It looked pathetic. And didn't really know what was going on. The moisture was there and the plants just looked pathetic. So I, without doing a lengthy soil test, I just, based on how the plants look, I just went and bought a bag of straight nitrogen and put it beside every row and did it to both gardens. And with ample rain, the thing just took off. And it was once again a thriving garden. And it looked beautiful and it made us feel good. So, thriving teachers, are your teachers thriving? And do you know if they're thriving or not? Are you with them enough that you even know how they're doing? Or, as far as you know, everything's going okay. You haven't heard anything really bad lately, so they must be doing all right, right? So we're going to talk about how we can know if our teachers are thriving or not. So it goes without being said that teachers are special people. I just think they are. They're extra special. They live in a glass house. It's a job where many things and a lot of young lives are at stake. They basically got a target on their back sometimes. They often leave a comfortable home and a home environment and go 600,000 miles, maybe even more, go away to take unfortunately, a low-paying job. to teach your children that are sometimes just plain brats, right? I mean, mine are sometimes. But they do all that. And then when they come, they might be brand new to the community and they're there a few weeks and they step into the schoolroom the first day. And they're supposed to, every morning, they're supposed to put on a smile and a cheery good morning to every student and just be a cheerful person. It doesn't matter how late they got to bed the night before. If I do that, if I'm not cheerful, my children ask me, "Dad, what's wrong with you?" Or my crew might, you know, give me some questioning looks. But a teacher can't do that, right? She's not supposed to. She's supposed to put on a good smile and everything. So they're special people. So appreciate your teachers. I think teachers are sometimes the most taken for granted folks out there. One of the definitions of thriving is to progress toward a goal despite or because of circumstances. Because in school, sometimes things go wrong. What can we do to have thriving teachers? I have communicate. I don't think I can emphasize enough the importance of communicating and knowing where your teachers are, knowing how they're doing. I'm not talking about just the school day, but your teachers have feelings, they have mood swings, they have everything that you have every day. And we heard the impact that a teacher has on a child. And they must be a person we require them to be someone that is a good example to our children. So how can we help them? Again, the things that I say, the ideas that I give, are just some things that I thought of. And after I'm done here, I want to open it up, especially in this one, because I think this is very important. Talk to them. And when I say talk to them, I mean actually talk to them. Sit down, visit with them, ask them how it's going. It's pretty easy in our digital age to just shoot them a text or whatever at the end of the day. But stop in and actually talk with them. Sit down and just visit, even if there's nothing wrong at all. I have an idea here that we practiced in the setting that I was involved in for many years. So we appointed, with those three board members plus a minister rep, and if we had three teachers, we appointed a board member for each teacher. We assigned a board member for each teacher so that teacher, if there was anything that they needed to discuss, anything went wrong during the day, they had one of the board members that they called, and it was consistent. It was always the same one, so that they knew that it didn't matter how big or small the issue was, they could pick up the phone at the end of the day or during the day if they needed to and call someone, and they would have immediate support. And it was just a way of helping them, or they knew that we were always there for them. It didn't matter what time of the day it was. And it worked very well. If the issue was bigger, then we would have the board would get together and maybe we would all get together and go over at the end of the day. But number two I have is let them know you support them. I already talked a little bit about that. This can be accomplished by various means. Stop in at random times with snacks or for a simple chat. It doesn't have to be just the chairman. It can be any of the board members. Express approval at a job well done. even if everything is going well, stop in for a chat. Visit school often. Be there for special events such as birthday parties, special fun days, field trips. Sometimes there are things to work through. Let them know that you're actively working for them and supporting them. Never, ever should they question whether you support them. There should never be a doubt in their mind that the board is behind them. So you may ask, what if the teacher is actually not accomplishing what the goals or the visions is of the school? What if that happens? Because that does happen sometimes. Sometimes the teacher is actually in the wrong. Our children knew that no matter what happened, we were always going to support the teacher, even if we didn't. Does that make sense? Now, our children never heard us that we did not support what the teacher did. So and there was times when I had to go talk to a teacher because what he or she did clearly was not supported by the board. But my children never found out. And I think that's very important that it stays within the board. If something goes wrong, which it will, let's make sure that we're the only ones that know it. And your children will never find out if whether you're just a board member, whether you're chairman. I think it's very important. Well, and we're going to talk a little bit more about support later on in another area. And again, during those times, I think from what I've experienced, when there's a need to go talk to a teacher, we're talking about how can we make our teachers thrive in doing their job. Be honest about the situation. If there's a problem, be honest about it. And ask them to be honest as well. Require honesty from them, and we need to be honest. We need to talk. We need to communicate to each other, even when there's problems. Support them financially beyond the call of duty. A $50 bill slipped in spontaneously into their car or somewhere may be just what they need. Invite them over for meals often. Sometimes we have lists for meals, but a standing invitation or a spontaneous invite means a lot too. 3, make available whatever they need to accomplish the goals and vision you set for them. It is important for the school board to have goals and a vision for the school and to even document them in the form of a manual or at least in writing. And the last one I have is a school handbook. But if the teachers are not given the tools for the vision and goals that you have, it's going to be very difficult for them to meet those goals. If you don't communicate, we don't communicate. It may be that they need more financial support or maybe a morale boost that they feel inadequate to reach their goals. Sometimes if they, and I mentioned this earlier, that teachers come in all with different talents. Sometimes there may not be quite the talent there that we would like to see, but let's work with what they've got and let's help them to reach their goals. Because they're probably like we are sometimes, we don't feel adequate for everything that, for the job ahead of us. And they feel that. Let's be there for them. Some teachers are more timid than others and find it more difficult to ask for what they need. This is where an open communicative environment, if we have open communication, we're honest with each other, I think during those times, even the most timid ones will feel like coming to you and sharing. So we talked about having goals and a vision. In setting a vision or goals for the school, make sure the goals are realistic and keep in mind that not all teachers come equally equipped for the demands of teaching. Be sensitive to their emotional needs. And I have especially lady teachers, know nothing meant by that. It's simply the way it is. They will probably experience more roller coaster emotions than male teachers. Be compassionate during these times. Just keep that in mind. They have emotional needs at times, and we must understand those things, and be supportive during those times. Give prayer support and let them know you are praying for them, especially during more difficult situations. Again, we sometimes assume that they should know that the board stands behind them, but don't be like the newly married husband that told his wife, you know, I love you and it'll be that way until I tell you otherwise. Let them know again and again that you support them, you're behind them. Let's not assume that they know we are supporting them. And then I again have visit school. I would encourage every board member to visit school at least once every 6 weeks, and more often if you can. Okay, we're going to need to move on. Does anyone have anything, any questions or anything that you'd like to share? Okay, so are your teachers thriving? Do you know whether they are or not? Can you tell whether they are thriving or just getting by? Do you know them enough that you know when they're not doing the best? Do you know if they're discouraged or not? Do you know what makes them tick? Next one is profitable parent teachers meetings. And I have the acronym TEAM. Together, everyone achieves more. Profitable means yielding advantageous returns or results. So this one was a little bit of a tough one because there's as many different ways to have parent-teachers meetings as there are different schools, I think. So there's a lot of different ways. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time, probably just a few things that I feel like are important based on my experience in school. You're going to have your frame of reference based on the setting that you grew up in, the board that you're a part of, and I have my frame of reference, and that's what I'm going to give you. So we'll just quickly go through this. I don't think it's so important what particular method you have as it is that they are profitable time that you have them regularly. I think it's very important that we have regular parent and teacher meetings where we can work together, we can talk together, we can discuss together. There's a time of meeting with the teacher, the parents meeting with the teacher, interacting with the board. I just think they're very important. Why should we have parent-teacher meetings? How often do we need them? Should there be a scheduled event, or just should we just have the parents meet with the teacher whenever it's convenient? And what makes them profitable? Just some questions I had. And again, it's just, I know there's a lot of different ways to do this, but I think it's important that we have a scheduled time that we get it done. Why parent-teacher meetings? Once again, communication is key. Like I mentioned already, it's a time of parents communicating with the teachers and the teachers with the parents. The school is made up of concerned parents that are entrusting the care of their children to some teachers that were hired from, at times, quite far away, and a lot of times we don't know them very well. And we're expecting our teachers to understand our child's temperament, his or her good and bad habits, and even their emotional needs, and make wise and informed decisions every day to meet those needs. And that's sometimes more than we as parents can even do with our own children. But we're expecting our teachers to do all that for our children. So that's why, one of the reasons why I feel like it's important that we have a time where the parents and teachers can meet and to be, again, to have honest, open communication, ask questions. How often do we need them? I think at least once every 6 weeks minimum. It could be more, it could be less, but if it's less, then I hope that you have some way set up for you to communicate, for the parents to, and teachers to communicate with each other. Okay, what makes a parent and teacher meeting a profitable time? And again, I have my frame of reference that I draw from, but there's a lot of different ideas probably, but I'd like to open it up. I'd like to hear from you all the way that you have your parent-teachers meetings. What are some suggestions? Maybe the way that you do it. I don't have a lot of time left, so I need you to speak up. Go ahead.
We do it 3 times a year, so whenever there's a report card time. And basically we have make a little schedule, and then each parent has 20 minutes with each teacher that they have students in the class with. And twice in the two of the meetings we would have a joint meeting, conglomerate meeting, whatever, with the, all the parents and the board, teachers, everybody together. So some of the people meet with the teachers, have a little space before that, and then 7 o'clock, we'll all sit together if there's something we want to talk about, field trip or whatever. And then sometimes there's something you need to finish afterwards, and we'll have a snack together and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any more?
We meet every 6 weeks, and we have a slot somewhere to share where every parent meets with the teacher that's teaching any of their students. Now, from a teacher's standpoint, when I taught school, sometimes it seemed like if everything was going well, maybe it wasn't that necessary, and yet it was, because it gave it a time, a specific time to connect, touch base with the parents and the students you're teaching.
That's right.
Which I feel is very important. If we don't have that designated time, it's probably not going to happen that much.
That's right.
Last year on the board, we came up to our last parent-teachers meeting, and it wasn't a full period, and we said something to the teachers about, are you all fine with just finishing the year out? They said, no, we want PTA. Just a testimony that they look forward to that time and just touching base.
Yeah.
Everybody's informed about what's going on. I think it's very important.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. We're going to have to move on, but thanks for sharing. Well, I believe it's very important. I believe it's important that parents are there to represent. And it's just a way of, again, it's a way of communicating, open, keeping that communication open, and for the teachers to be honest about your child is important. And I know sometimes as parents we can get kind of defensive, but you know, if the teacher has a bad report, but I highly encourage our teachers, I want you to be honest. If my child's not being okay, let me know. Teachers must be honest, and problems don't go away on their own. To solve a problem, we must admit there is a problem, we must see the problem for what it is, and thirdly, we must work together to find answers to solve the problem. One of the key elements in a school board relating to parents and to teachers, and I believe that's why I feel like a PTA, parent-teachers meeting, is so important. It's not your school. It's not the parent's school, it's not the board's school. And it's not the teacher's school, it's our school, and we're all in it together. And how else can we work together unless we communicate together, unless we talk to each other, and we're honest about each other, to each other? And so, communication. I don't know if I can emphasize communication and honesty enough in working together as a school board, parents, and teachers relating to each other. To solve the problems, we must admit there's a problem, see the problem for what it is, and work together to find answers to solve the problems. And to accomplish that, we must talk and we must be honest. Because my children aren't angels, and neither are yours. All right, passing the torch to future board members. The phrase passing the torch is an idiom that means to transfer responsibilities, duties, or leadership from one person to another. It often implies a positive transition. I found my notes here. To the person passing the torch trusts their successor to continue the work or tradition effectively. The origin of this phrase comes from the ancient Greek torch races, where a lit torch was passed from one runner to another. This act symbolizes continuity and the sharing of knowledge or responsibilities. What are some ways we can pass on this responsibility in a positive way with positive results? Is there trust in the person you are passing this on to? Have you communicated the one coming on of his responsibilities? Are there certain expectations? Should there be some qualifications? As we think of passing the torch to another board member, and in our setting, I was on the board for 5 years, was off for one, chairman for five. And sometimes when you're on for that length of time, that can become more of an issue if you've been there for a while. And passing on the torch and letting go and letting someone else do the job that you have. That's one thing I found out, you know, in running a business. And when I had the foreman responsibility, and now I'm running my own crew. Now I have a foreman that I've passed the torch on to him. And one learning curve I've had in the last 2 years is to allow them to go on with the job site without me there and being okay when they mess up. And that's been a real learning curve for me. My family calls me a perfectionist. And so I had to learn to be okay with mistakes. That was a tough one for me. I'll admit that. Because I come to the job, I'm like, why in the world? Why'd you do it this way? I mean, you should know better than that. I mean, I didn't always say that, but you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, that's not even anywhere's right. But it's okay. I had to be okay with it. It's called letting go and transferring the responsibility to them and being okay. And sometimes, you know, in passing on the torch to future board members, again, communication. There must be a continuity and a willingness to let go. And this is where, we're not going to get into the handbook, but this is where a handbook will shine, is when, I think it was Aaron Durstein that mentioned that we have something written down, maybe it was you, Ron, when we have a handbook, something that is written down, documented, it is there. It just makes things so much clearer than trying to remember everything that they're supposed to be doing. So I think we'll close with that. I ran out of time. I'm known to talk too much. So, but thanks for your attention, and